There was a prophetic word that I had that I shared at the conference, and I just felt like it wasn't supposed to be stopped there. And I just wanted to encourage someone with it this morning, whoever it may be. The word was this: we want to break helplessness. And sometimes when we are helpless, like the next day we feel, okay, we're back on our game. But once we've been in helplessness, it's like right after getting out of that helplessness, it's something triggers in us, and it makes it so we can more quickly fall into helplessness again with those same situations. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I just felt like the Lord was saying that we're going to break that off. Okay, because we keep falling in. It's like we'll take a step out of the valley, and then we slide right back down. And there was this song that I've been worshiping to lately, and it goes, I may be surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And it comes from this concept in 2 Kings when Elijah is surrounded, the city is surrounded by the enemy armies. And then he is so nonchalantly like, okay. And the other guys with him are like freaking out. These armies are all around us. And he prays, God, would you open their eyes to see? And God opens their eyes to be able to see that they are surrounded by armies, but God's army is surrounding them. Right? And that just takes the helplessness right out of a helpless situation. We may feel like we're coming into situations, and I specifically saw people saying like, I can't do this anymore. I can't move on any further. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I can't take any more of this pressure, this pain. I can't take any more. And it was just that pressure of feeling surrounded by life circumstances. But as you're surrounded by life circumstances, you're also surrounded by a mighty God. Right? We've talked about this, how sometimes we'll get to where our back's against a Red Sea, or we're up against a huge wall, just so that God can break that wall down, and just so that God can part that sea and show how awesome and incredible He is. Amen. And so I just want to speak that over situations this morning. So, Father, right now, whoever that is feeling helpless or even is just fresh out of a helpless season, we break it off in the name of Jesus right now, that there would be freedom, that even the memories of how it felt to live in that helplessness would no longer be there, God, because we are surrounded by You, because You are the miracle worker. You're the one who knows no impossibilities. You are the Almighty God, and You are with us and You are for us. And so we break that off now in the name of Jesus. And we all agreed by saying, Amen. 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 Cool. If that was you, I'd love to hear about it at some point, maybe after service. Grab me and say, yeah, helplessness is gone in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite Adriana up to read our passage this morning. Do you have a Bible, or you want to read off this?
I'll read off this.
Okay. Here you go.
So it's the whole thing, right?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Acts 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied that holy and righteous one, and asked for a murder to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, who you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man his perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back to your sins, may be blotted out. The time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom was received until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord of God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who have come after him also proclaim these days. You are the son of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with you, Father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up a servant, sent him to you first, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone want to grow from that this morning? Anybody want to be shaped by the scriptures this morning? Okay, so we got one. Praise Jesus, Lord. We praise you for the one. Anybody want to grow from the scriptures this morning? Come on, come on. Father, we ask that you would teach this morning, that you would speak this morning, that you would shape us this morning by your word. As we talk about these scriptures, Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly to each person here, that you would bring further conviction in our lives, that we would that you would bring us more shape to cause us to look more and more like Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. What series are we in?
Acts.
Oh, we are getting better and better week by week. Come on. What series?
Acts,
the movement that changed the world. And we've been learning that we are the church. And we got to say that with some pride. Can we say that together? We are the church. We are the church. We are the church. And we're continuing to address what it looks like for us to be the church as we walk through the book of Acts. After discipling the disciples for 3 years, and I feel like it's important for us to really grab a hold of this, in particular, maybe for one or two of us this morning to just really, really hear this. And I don't know which two of you I'm speaking to, so don't feel like I'm zeroing in on you because I heard the Lord that you need to hear this today. But as Jesus is standing there on the Mount of Olives with the disciples, he's looking at them and he's saying this: remember back to when I said those words to you, follow me. Remember back to that time when I said, follow me. Now, fast forward to where we stand now, and everything in between, that's what I want you to do again. Right? That's why he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This whole 3 years that we've spent together, I've taught you about the kingdom of God. I've shown you what it looks like to walk in the kingdom of God, to seek after the heart of the Father. I want you to go and do this with a whole bunch of other people. Go, 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 make disciples, disciples, disciples. Go and make disciples, but don't go until you've received power. Don't go until you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God to actually do these things. And on the day of Pentecost, we saw that that was made available, that the Holy Spirit of God was poured out and made available for all mankind. Who did that include? Everybody. It included everybody, men and oh, ladies, come on. Men and
women.
Yes, men and women, old and
young.
Young young and old, rich and
poor.
Rich and, well, that's what my mama always said. She said, we ain't rich, but we ain't poor. Rich and poor, it's available for all. And we saw how this levels the playing field, how discrimination and bias and any bigotry is just eliminated by this, because we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need the grace of God in His Son Jesus to be in right relationship with the Father. We're all on the same playing field, and we all are, we all can be empowered by God. And I love how it also broke down the socioeconomic different levels, because we see that in a lot in the early church, of people who have money and are super religious, and they're going up, those trays come by and they're like, hey, check out how much, that's a Benjamin right there, right? Did you see, you guys see that? You guys see how much cash I just put in that, right? That's a lot how it was. I'm a little bit more animated and I may look a little better. I'm just trying to get a smile or something. But that's how it was. And it levels the playing field. You know, when the gal who didn't have a lot puts like 2 pennies in the offering, and Jesus looks at that and says, wow. Right? Amen. It puts us all on the same playing field. As we're looking at the church and we're considering how we look today versus how it looked then, and we see how rapidly this church was growing, and we compare it and we say, do it again, God, right? But we also have to recognize some things that they had that we don't necessarily have. There are some social constructs that they have there that we don't necessarily have. See, it was normal for them to go to the temple to pray 3 times a day. We don't got that. And so there is an importance for us to press in prayer in our own personal life. Jesus demonstrated this time and time and time again. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's off. He's off praying somewhere. He's talking to the Father, right? In the early church, they had this construct that they were going to go and pray 3 times a day. And we don't necessarily have that. So there's an importance for us to press in prayer, to make this a normal thing in our lives. And I just have some questions to ask for parents. How often are you praying with your child or your children? A lot of times for parents, especially who've been in the church for a while, we can say, yeah, I got that. So go ahead and give yourself a pat on the back. Good job, parents. Keep doing it. Keep going after it. Here's another question, which may be a little bit harder. Spouses, how often are you guys praying together? I was writing this question down and feeling a little conviction myself. And there's not a clear answer I can give you as to how often you ought to be praying together. But that's something that you ought to bring before the Lord and say, all right, God, how often do you want us to be praying together? Right? Maybe it's, you know, a couple times a week. Maybe it's once a day. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But go and ask the Lord. Singles, who are you praying with? Right? Prayer and community isn't something that starts at marriage. Amen? I should hear some amens from this section back here. Man, there's some over here. Okay. Here's a challenge. Okay? Look around this room. I loved your call this morning and your talk about us being a body. Just it's where we're at as a church. It's what we're talking about. Look around this room. How many people here have you not actually prayed with? Right? It's something we ought to strive towards. I want to be able to look around this room and say, yeah, I've prayed with everybody here. And I know what I can be praying with them about through the week. Right? We want to be a part of each other's lives. This is what that community looked like. They've got these different constructs that we don't have. So we've got to fight harder to have this close-knit community. So there's the challenge. I don't know what kind of time frame you got to make on this challenge. Maybe it's a few months. Maybe it's 6 months. Maybe it's a year. Whatever it is, just be like, by the end of this year, I have got to have prayed with every single person in our church. We're at a size where we can actually make that happen, right? Let's take advantage of that while we have that, okay? But it was on their way to prayer at 3 p.m. where we read Peter and John and their interaction that facilitated a journey from beautiful to breathtaking. And that's the title of my message this morning, From Beautiful to Breathtaking. Can we say that together? From beautiful to breathtaking. And I found that some of the most impacting and life-shaping experiences can be described by saying it went from beautiful to breathtaking. Right? I went to Maui for the first time on our honeymoon. It was the first time I had ever been to Hawaii. And I'd seen pictures and I'm like, okay, it's pretty. And then you're flying over and you're seeing that clear water and you're like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful, right? And then you get off the plane, right? We're talking, you got some Lays, you got your toes in the sand, you've got a nice little coconut drink, you've got the smell of coconut in the air. I don't drink coconut drinks. They're pretty good though. And it went from beautiful to breathtaking, right? How about meeting Alicia? I told you I like people changing colors a little bit. If we can get that first picture up. This was one of the first pictures of Alicia that I actually took this picture. We were on a retreat with 11th Hour Ministries, which is now known as Ignite Global Ministries. And I'm thinking, she's pretty. She's beautiful. And it went from beautiful to breathtaking as she came down the aisle, if we have that other picture. As she came down that aisle, it was, oh my goodness. It went from beautiful to breathtaking. Do we have the one more picture? I can't remember if I put that on. Oh. And now you look at us both and y'all are just losing your breath. My goodness, there are some good looking people up in there. Woo! Beautiful. I just took this thing from beautiful to breathtaking. And talk about an impacting thing in life. What about our relationship with God? Does it not go from, man, this is simply beautiful to just breathtaking after breathtaking after breathtaking? This is what our life is like. But here's the thing. Because we have a relationship with God that goes from beautiful to breathtaking, we also have it in us to expect that as we would minister to other people in their lives, to take them from beautiful to breathtaking. Because as we go around this world, one of the things that we can say to people is, you're beautiful. You are beautiful. When I was thinking about this, I just thought of you. You're beautiful, right? As something that you would say, you're just beautiful. Right. And we get to be people who bring people from beautiful to breathtaking. But it all starts somewhere, right? Yeah. It all starts. Someone say it all starts in the heart.
It all starts in the heart.
It all starts in the heart. Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right. Well, it starts right here. All of that that's coming out and flowing out of me on Sunday morning is because I've sat with it with the Lord and just said, put this in my heart. That's my literal prayer. Lord, put this in my heart that it would just overflow and come out. I don't want to have to memorize it. I want to be addressed by you and I want to be filled by you, that it would just, right? Proverbs 4:24 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You wonder why you do some things that you don't want to do. I would oftentimes question, how often is it that you spend thinking about that? How often is your attention on that? How often are you playing video games that are doing violent things and then you find yourself doing a violent thing? How often are you watching movies that are doing things that you don't want to do and then and then you're finding yourselves doing those things, right? How often are we filling our hearts with the things that we don't want ourselves to do? Right? There's a fix right there. Cut it off. Cut it off. Let's put things into our heart which we want to come out of our lives. I've recently had that conviction with Netflix. Right? I mean, not like I'm watching a whole bunch of... Don't hear me wrong. Right? I'm not watching a whole bunch of terrible things on Netflix. But one of my recent convictions is I want to have the Word of God going into me more than I have Netflix going into me. And so I'm spending more time in Scripture and I'm spending more time listening to sermons so that I will just have the Word of God being spoken and I'm constantly listening. That was my advice to someone recently, too. They're going through a hard time and they said, what can we be doing? I'm like, well, number one, press in. Press in. Number two, just cause all of the clutter to be decluttered and just have the Word of God just going and going and going. I gave them a couple of ideas as to things that they could be listening to. And, you know, we'll see if it's helpful to them as it has been helpful for me. But it starts with the heart. If we want to see people go from beautiful to breathtaking, it's got to start in the heart. And this passage gives us some insight as to how we can guard our hearts, how we can steward our hearts to bring people from beautiful to breathtaking. Very quickly, before we actually get there, I want to just recognize the people who are in this story. There's the crippled man who was brought. And some of us may feel like we are that crippled man. Right? We're stuck. We're unable to move forward. We've been this way for a while. We've been stuck with this sickness, with this illness, with this addiction, with this whatever. We feel stuck. And I want you to see what happens with this guy. Where does this guy position himself or have his friends help him be positioned at? At the gate. This is the prime place for him to receive the type of help that he thinks he needs, right? The money, because he can't do it himself. So he goes to the gate where everyone's going to be going through three times a day. He positions himself in a place that he is going to receive. And if you're feeling like this crippled man, if you're feeling like you are stuck, that's my encouragement to you. If you want to get out of that stuck, position yourself in a place where you can receive. Position yourself where you're going to receive that help. What does that mean? Maybe you aren't paying attention to God at all. I mean, there's the first most obvious one, right? Are you spending time in Scripture? Are you spending time in prayer? Sometimes Scripture says that you have not because you ask not, right? Are you actually asking God for breakthrough in this area? Another one would be the position of our heart, right? We feel like we have it all together, but we're not being able to be informed by leaders in the church. We're not being able to be informed by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right. So we need to have this position of I'm ready to receive and I'm going to get everything else out of the way. Some of us would be like the people who are bringing this crippled man. Right. It says they brought him there daily. They were bringing him to a position to receive daily. They were picking up and carrying this man. I think about carrying my 3-year-old and sometimes I'm like, oh man, I got to work out more. Right. But you think about every day carrying people, carrying this man there, and then how that fits practically into our lives. It's us coming beside these people who are feeling stuck. And let's face it, sometimes these people are stuck for extended amounts of time. I mean, this guy is assumably into his 30s at least. And he's been like this for that long. That means people have been carrying him there that long. And I just want to tell you, if you are a carrier, if you're someone who is lifting people up and bringing them and helping position them into a place where they can actually receive, that can get heavy. I can tell you as a pastor, that can get heavy. The good news is that you don't got to carry it all yourself. The bad news is that sometimes we try to. And it's It's in those moments where we get so run down and so beat up and so tired and so exhausted that we don't even know what to do. I'm just so tired. And this is when people burn out. This is when people say, I just need a break from the church. I just need a break from the people of God. I just need a break. I need a break. I need a break. No, you need to lay this down before God. Right? Jesus says that He will take it. He'll take that weight. Right? His yoke is light. His yoke is easy. So we lay those as carriers of other people. It's important that we are, I would say, on a daily basis coming before God and say, I will carry this person. I will help bring this person to a place so that they can get healthy and right with You. But man, I got to stop now, Lord. This is a heavy weight and Your word says that You're going to carry it and I'm just going to walk with You. So You carry it. You carry it. So, and I just feel like there's a little bit of resistance towards that. Not even like I'm resisting that, but it's just hard. So do what you got to do to make that happen. Put it on a fridge or something. Like, let go. Right? Lay it down. Pray. I'm getting the pray signal right now. Pray. Right? Whatever you got to do to lay it down. Man, lay it down. Because I don't want to see anybody burn out. I don't want to see anybody so exhausted coming to me, Pastor Ben, I just don't think I can do this anymore. Yes, you can. Just lay it down. Okay? We all right with that?
Yep.
Okay. Lay it down. Someone say, lay it down.
Lay it down.
Okay. Now, as we bring people from beautiful to breathtaking, my goodness. I just looked at the clock. All right. How in the world did that happen? Okay. How do we want to do this? All right. I'm just going to... Give me a few minutes, okay? The first is a heart of love. Right? Having a heart of love. We know, and I'll say this in probably 98% of my messages that I ever give, we are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And the way that we do that is that the Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sin. He is shaping us to look more and more like Jesus. And in order for that to be effective, we need to submit so that we can have a renewed mind and a transformed life. And as that happens, we look more and more like Jesus, right? So as we would want to have the mind of Christ, as we would want to look more and more like Jesus, we must ask, how does God look at people? Right? How does God look at people? 2 Peter 3:9 says that He is not willing that any should perish. I love that verse because it paints a target on every single person out there. I mean, they're just walking around. They got little bullseyes on them, right? You're a target for God. You're a target for God. You're a target for God. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Right? I can look at people with that heart. It also says in John 3:16, I don't know if anybody's ever read this verse, but it says, for God so loved the world. Right? This is the way that He looks at people. I love you. I love you. So this is the way that we need to look at the world. I love you. Right? I love you. Oh, shoot. She's got a shirt that says John 3:16 on it. Come on. If that's not prophetic, I don't know what is. Come on. That's good stuff. But this needs to be the view that we take when we look at people. I love you because God loves you. And man, some people are hard to love. Right? There's a country song. Hard to love, hard to love. You know, huh? Right. I don't even know why that came out. There are people that are hard to love, though. Right. But we got to let go of ourselves sometime. And we got to say, all right, I may really, really dislike this person, but God says to love this person so much so that even if they're my enemy, I'm going to love them. Whoa. Jesus is a pretty radical dude. Look at what Peter did, though, right? He actually looked at him. He shifted his gaze down to this man. How often do we come across someone who's begging, and what do? Right? We don't want to look. Sometimes it's as simple as a gaze. Right? What if we just stopped and looked? And what if all it took was us to stop and look, that as we would see them and look at them, that God would give us a vision around them or a word over them, and we would just stop and maybe just say, "You're beautiful. And I believe God wants to take you to breathtaking." That may change a life right there. So we got to have hearts of love. The second thing is a heart of humility, right? Peter recognizes what he doesn't have. He says, "Silver and gold have I not. I don't got it." We got to recognize what we don't have, because it's when we recognize what we don't have that God can come in that place. I feel like every Sunday morning, I'm like, "Oh God, I don't feel like I got it this morning. I don't feel like I got it. I don't feel like I'm prepared enough. I don't feel like I know the scripture enough. I don't feel like I've prayed enough. I don't feel like I've fasted enough. I don't feel like I can do it." God says, "I got you. I've placed you here for such a time as this. And I'm going to empower you for such a time as this." So recognize what we don't have. And then finally, we've got to have a heart of faith. What's incredible about this passage is, as Peter says, silver and gold I have not, but stand up and walk, right? But watch what he does before the guy actually gets up. He takes his hand and he lifts him up. Can you imagine? This guy's, it says that his feet and his ankles weren't strengthened until he was lifted up. That happened after the fact. So we're talking about lifting up dead weight before it actually happens. Is that faith? That's faith. Because we believe God is saying, "I'm going to heal this person. I'm walking in the power of God. In the name of Jesus, be healed, walk." And I mean, 150, 200 pounds. I mean, you got to be working out for this, right? But boom. And as he gets up, what does he do? Oh man, so we got to have a heart of faith. But as this guy gets up, it says in verses 9 and 10 that the people saw him walking and praising God. He was walking and praising God. I love that, because he is rejoicing over what God did. And it just came to my mind, because that's the season that we're in as a church. We rejoice in what God is doing. There's a lot of things that we could look at in our nation, in our neighborhood, in our family, in our own lives that God isn't doing or he hasn't done yet. But God has done some stuff. God has done some stuff, and we got to rejoice when God is doing stuff. That's why I've got this message that I just got to declare to like the whole body of Christ everywhere I go, that we ought to be the most rejoicing people there are. Because our God is so good, and he's done so much stuff, he's doing so much stuff, and he's going to do so much more stuff. Anybody have excitement for that? Okay. That's what I got for us this morning. That's what I got. So Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be people that would take other people from beauty to breathtaking. As this man was sitting at this gate called Beautiful, and then was jumping, and people had their breath taken away at how awesome this sight truly was because of you, God. I pray that would be the experience that we would have as we walk with people. God, let that be fresh hope as we're walking in discipleship with people, that we would get to see them walk from beautiful to breathtaking. Father, we pray for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Let's keep working through this book of Acts next week.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.